In this episode, you'll discover the four mental patterns husbands use in marriage to energize themselves. Dot, dot, dot. But only one leads to happily ever after. So welcome in, heroic husbands, to the Be the Husbands She Brags About podcast. This is your one podcast for learning everything you need to know to become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. As always, I lead with this, and I have been recently. It's like, what the hell is in this next 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever length this episode becomes? What's in it for me, Mark? I hear the background of your nervous system scream, and so it should. You're a powerful man. You need to know what you're going to gain and benefit from your sacred investment of your time and attention here. The three specific benefits you'll gain by listening to the end of this episode are: number one, you'll recognize the signs your thinking has shifted to one of the three connection-eroding mental patterns, and you'll be thus empowered to shift to a more powerful pattern. Number two, you'll have clear access to the ultimate mental pattern that will create connection, trust, and attraction on repeat for years to come. Boy, if you don't just hang around for that benefit by itself. And number three, this new awareness will empower you to go from conflict to clarity in seconds, no matter how intense the storm of married life becomes in any given moment. Let's jump into heroic humiliation time. This is building the muscle in all of you, in your nervous systems, to bring your awareness to coming to the ground of truth, to where you're truly at. Have you ever found yourself caught in your mind spinning the same story over and over after an argument with your queen? Have you ever found yourself getting really frustrated and pissed off that your queen just refuses to see your point of view in a conversation, in an argument, in a situation? And have you ever found your awareness focusing on the opinion that the unknown woundedness from your queen's childhood is the main driving factor in marital disconnection or in a specific topic? 1,000 men in a room. If there's 1,000 radically honest men, there are 1,000 hands going up. If not for all three, definitely one of the above. I would say all three in my experience of talking with men. And we'll talk about the different mental patterns that leads to this. We can have distinct patterns where there's one King Kong pattern that really holds true for you. It might be already revealing itself within the answering of those questions. But more often than not, there's a mixed bag of them all, like a dominant pattern, one with overlaps with the other. A lot of this episode this week is inspired. I like finding topics when they're really live in my nervous system, if not by myself, like in my own practice in life with my queen in that moment. They're inspired very often from guys that I'm coaching one-on-one within Heroic Husbands training and community platform. And there was during one of the community King's coaching call where you have direct access to one-on-one coaching with me, one of the guys, he didn't actually bring a topic. He didn't have something live. He was there vicariously to sit in space, which is a wonderfully powerful practice, listening to other men being coached and being brought through shadow work to come to a deeper realization and recognition of their own blind spots and being able to tap in and place their awareness on, you know, what powerful ways they can step forward in their power. But I touched base with this guy at the end of the call. It was like, hey, after listening in to the other guys being coached and the points and the insights that were coming through for them, what's your one main insight after listening in? And he was very sincere, the guy. And he said, Mark, the major insight I have is coming to recognize how much energy I get from blaming my queen. And I followed him up with a question. I was like, okay, wow. You know, like that insight, that can change everything if you really integrate that. And I asked him, if for the next 6 months you drop that perspective of gaining energy by blaming your queen, if you drop that completely and you went all in on taking radical ownership for embodying love, what would you be experiencing in marriage that in marriage in 6 months' time that you are not experiencing now? His answer was pretty damn quick, viscerally felt. It's like there was a sincerity and a presence in his nervous system, and his words were peace and harmony. And that's not what he is experiencing internally now in his married life. And yet it was that simple. I want to bring that as an example that when you get fundamentally clear in your own nervous system of the mental patterns and pathways that your awareness goes inside your own psyche, and when you can pick up, wow, you know, when my awareness goes along that mental pattern to that part of my mind, and that's dysfunctional, that's creating disconnection, it might feel energizing, but it leads to disconnection. You are then empowered with this radical clarity, like this guy in the King's Coaching call in the community, where it's like, hey man, if you're now aware that that's the pattern that you feel energy from, but what if you shunted to another pattern that gives you energy also, but it was fundamentally different? The simple answer is his marriage and your marriage would be radically transformed within 3 to 6 months. I want you guys knowing how fundamentally simple this is. Transforming your marriage, transforming your inner world, transforming your outer world, both of those, it's an inside-out job, is fundamentally quite a simple process. The conditions that you need to set up in your inner world practice and your inner world attitude is this. If you recognize a pattern, a habitual pattern in your mental thinking that does not work, you've got to make a rigorous non-negotiable commitment to stop feeding that pattern. And once you stop feeding that pattern and you give no excuse, you're like, it doesn't work once, it doesn't work twice, well then it's a pattern of dysfunction, I will not allow my awareness go to that part of my mind, you shunt the entire reality that you're going to be creating from the outside. It's really, really simple. It's so profound. But I want you guys getting this. And well, I said it to you now, you know, if you notice a dysfunctional mental pattern in the course of this conversation, imagine it's a conversation between us on the podcast. If you notice a mental pattern that is leading to dysfunction in your marriage, and you recognize that there's a mental pattern inside of your nervous system that is creating that disconnection on repeat, will you commit to shifting your awareness to a different mental pattern that will create connection on repeat? I'm literally asking you to answer that within yourself. I'm asking you this to support you waking the fuck up in the nightmare of your own creating. Because, you know, if you answer no, Mark, I'm not going to butter my ass. I love dysfunction on repeat. Fuck it. I have supremely low standards. That's actually what we're saying if we answer no. But what answer, you know, and I literally be real with yourself. Has some part of you said, yes, I will commit? Wait for that answer to come. If it's not there, you've bigger questions to answer. From a masculine perspective, there's only one fucking answer to that question. If I notice my own dysfunctionality, the dysfunctionality of my own mental patterns, and I recognize rationally that, yes, you know, I think in that pattern and the end result is disconnection, distrust, you know, a lack of attraction. Well, masculine practice is I will commit to making a difference. So let's go deeper into this. There's a fundamental thing or purpose behind the organism, which is your nervous system, is my nervous system, is all of our nervous systems. We are, our organism, physiologically and psychologically, requires energy. It's one of these, it's like, you know, the fish in water, you know, the fish is so close to water, does it even notice that it relies on water? Does it even notice the existence of water? It's like we rely upon this principle, this idea that our nervous system, our physiology and psychological organism, both entities, they require energy to sustain this life's journey. And your rational brain can go, yeah, but sure, that's obvious. But it might be obvious for the physiological thing. You know, oh, I get hangry, you know, if I don't get my lunch and et cetera, et cetera. We'll notice as men the physiological need for energy. The main one here that's important is the psychological, the meeting of psychological needs for energy. We will find a psychological source for our energy no matter what. We need, you know, psychological energy is emotion. Emotion is energy that puts into motion. As a living organism, we need energy that puts us into motion in some way, shape, or form. Otherwise, I mean, you'd just lie in bed, and that actually can happen, where you get to the point where no energy is putting you into motion. Profound depression. I've been there at points of suicide, and we will talk about that. It's this idea, even to when you get to the point of suicide, there is a key mental pattern that is giving you energy that puts you into motion, but it puts you into emotion and you're going to a cliff edge. But there still is a mental pattern that sets you in motion again and again and again that gets to this end point where you're pretending to jump off a bridge. And I've been there multiple times with that. So it's an essential thing to note, not only for your psychological, physiological, the continuation of your life, but the same pattern will have you walking to the cliff edge of your marriage and pretending that you don't care. So I want you to lean in and lock it in your mind, in your awareness for the rest of your life, that your entire organism is always seeking a source of energy psychologically. The quality of your inner world experience, and thus the quality of your outer world experience, your marriage, your intimate relationship with your queen, your parenting, the whole kit and caboodle that comes with married life, will be directly proportional. No, that's not, it's an incorrect use of directly proportional. It will give you a mirror back. The quality of your inner and external world will mirror back exactly the quality of the energy source you're using to gain energy to move forward. So if you are experiencing in any way, shape, or form a dissatisfaction with what you're feeling on a day-to-day basis, and more importantly on this topic, any lack of fulfillment, any lack of feeling a full freedom to be yourself in marriage, that is direct evidence that you are not tapping in psychologically, subconsciously up until this point. After this episode, you will be able to consciously recognize, ah, I'm tapping into that energy to give me emotion. If that's how I'm looking at life, to give me energy. But you will know that if you're feeling a lack of fulfillment, a lack of freedom, a lack of satisfaction in married life, in any aspects of it, conversationally disconnecting with your queen, sexually disconnecting with your queen, there's arguments about finances, parenting, or just a whole kit and caboodle, there's just a mosh pit of shit there, it has all 100% without any exception to do with the poor quality place you are psychologically sending your awareness in your mind to gain an energy source. I want you to know that. I want you to lock in. Different parts of your mind, and we learn about them, can argue with suggested philosophical approaches. You can just, you know, brush it to the side. That's bullshit. I'm not interested. Just give me the fucking strategies. I will make my queen be happy, Mark. And it's like, if you want that, hey, that's a superficial level of masculine practice. I don't do that. Heroic Husbands is about the deepest spiritual evolution of you as a man. If you're here for a quick fix, it's not the place. I want to be straight with you guys. This is for real men. This is for the real men who want to access the real man inside of themselves. You might feel broken, but there's a realness in you that is so hungry to get fucking real that you can hold space for the teaching. You can hold space for the challenge to you, and you can surrender, find the courage to surrender into the process. I don't mind if you take this personally, you get triggered and you decide to go to a different podcast. I'd rather, as the numbers slowly but surely increase, I'd rather have a knowing that we all energetically as a collective movement of men know that, hey, the men that show up here, they're deeply committed to tapping into the heroic principle inside of themselves. And we're not just little boy bitches that are going to, you know, have one brain fart of resistance in their nervous system and form a judgment and then piss off. It's a collective movement. It's a podcast that is really striking to the core of your masculine being and going, well, are you going to fucking show up now as a man? Are you going to show up now as a hero? Or are you going to live the rest of your life hiding behind bullshit excuses, blame and shame? What's it going to be? I want that direct fire to be an omnipresent part of the message here so that you actually get turned on to go, this is a fucking real conversation. This is the depth of conversation I want to be feeding into my ears, into my nervous system as nourishment for my soul. It's a provocative conversation, that's without doubt, and I want it to be that. So moving forward, I encourage you to start asking the question and becoming curious, you know, in as you muse in your own mind, conversationally, you're just, you know, instead of mentally masturbating about, you know, bullshit at work that is immaterial, you might as well, you know, get lost in your mind on the way home from work and the way to work when you have a moment, or you're journaling. It's like to become this active philosopher that wrestles down the topics of life and asks deep questions of yourself. You know, where has my awareness gone in my mind to source my energy to keep me in motion? Where has my awareness gone in my mind to source my energy in this situation? Where does my awareness go in my mind to source my energy in most day-to-day moments in my marriage? Definitely the one in conflict. I'm going to go through the breakthrough now of the four mental patterns that husbands use in marriage to energize themselves. And the caveat is that the number four is the only one that leads to happily ever after. I set yourselves up, like, look at this in black and white terms. These are, I would say, inescapable principles that when you practice leaning into and go, okay, I'll take this as like a universal principle, by taking it on board like that, number, that's a real masculine practice. You can bring clarity to the chaos of life. Ultimate masculine practice brings chaos to the untamable, unboxable, unpredictable, ever-moving feminine of life, as represented in our queens when they're in their full goddess mode, as represented by the world, as represented by our own woundedness. There's this untamable, unboxable, unpredictableness of life. Masculine practice is what brings it all back to this visceral sense of stillness. It's the ultimate freedom for a man to feel, I've nailed life. It's the ultimate spiritual competence where all of my external lived experience is being produced inarguably by the interpretation of my own nervous system, by where I place my awareness in my own mind. So if I feel as chaotic on the outside, well, that's a chaos that's been created on the inside, and you come back home. It's what was embodied and taught in different ways, in different forms, with the use of different metaphors, but foundationally you will see real key threads and characteristics in the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of Buddha, of Krishnamurti, Hindu teachings, Shiva Shakti. You go, beautiful teachings in the Quran. We've created so many bullshit wars fighting against ideologies that we've actually lost the point that there's so many of the principles are pointing to very similar aspects of this universal human condition. So I ask you to lean in. I challenge you to place your egoic, you know, I'm just going to argue with every single thing that's said here because I'm just fighting against the world. I'm fighting against anything that will place the heat under my ass to take extreme ownership. I ask you to park that on the shelf. You can bring it back with you beyond this call, but park it and lean in with an open mind, a beginner's mind, which is open to a new learning. So if you've been listening in and this is, some of you have listened to 260, I think it's 61, I think this is 262nd podcast episode in this, I ask you to practice a day one freshness, a beginner's mind, like you haven't heard anything. And if you, this is your first episode or the first few episodes, I set the same challenge to you. So the four mental patterns husbands use in marriage to energize themselves, but only one leads to happily ever after. The first one is self-energizing through rumination. Those of you that are really acutely paying attention to all the podcasts, etc., etc., you'll know I've spoken to this before. It's coming from the part of your psyche, which I call in this culture the beaten boy part of you. The beaten boy self-energizes through rumination. Rumination is the process. It's like it's a biological term from cows and different bovine creatures, species, where they swallow their food and then they cough it up and they re-chew it and then they swallow it. So it's ruminating is coughing it back up to re-chew on it. So rumination in the mind is when your awareness continually comes back to a situation, churning it over again and again in this unending mental loop. And so often, if not always, there's a focusing of the awareness on how right, how you're right and someone else is wrong. And where this gets really, really interesting is in marriage, very often, clearly it's going to be your wife is wrong. And some of you guys will justifiably go, Mark, when I'm in beaten boy, I'm beating the shit out of myself. It's shame. I've turned on myself. So I'm not actually making anybody else wrong. I'm making myself wrong. Well, if you look at it really closely, what's more accurate is when you're ruminating on that part of you, and it has happened me and it has happened most guys in some way, shape or form that you end up ruminating, that if you get to that inner critic part, every guy has that part. At some time, your awareness goes to some part of you that's beating up in yourself. What you'll see is energetically, technically you are taking a stance that you are right and your past self is wrong. When you're ruminating, so often you start ruminating the next morning after a major argument when you were an absolute asshole to your queen again, you made her cry, blah, 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 blah. Now you're in these shame loops and you're feeling bad, but you're actually taking a stance in your today, in your present moment. You're taking a righteous stance looking back on the you of the night before going, oh, you're such a piece of shit, you did that again. So there is this energy that your psyche comes from being right, but you're right and your past self was wrong. The right, you are gaining energy, you are self-energizing by making a judgment call about your past self, last night, or a judgment call on your past self. Maybe you cheated on your queen, or you've had this past self experience with porn, a repeated occurrence of your past self, which if you're not doing the so-called crime in the moment, the judgment is on your past self. Your awareness goes to a point of your mind that is right. You're right in the moment and judges your past self as wrong. It's right versus wrong. It's a real crazy, it seems crazy, but it's one of the most all-pervasive things. And you're going to notice that the three mental patterns that we use to self-energize unconsciously, they're all based on right versus wrong. The ones that don't work. Our psychology can blame itself and feel right in the judgment of its past self. You're such a piece of shit. Oh, you've done it again. Like, it's the judgment of now. I'm right now in my judgment of me 5 minutes ago, me 5 days ago, me the last five decades of my life. It is such a dangerous mechanism that it can actually, it nearly energized me so much to camp out there, guys, that several times I was really within a couple of nanoseconds of committing suicide. Maybe less extreme than committing suicide, but multiple times, I, less than a handful of times, it was suicide a real distinct threat, a close potentiality for me. But like, I don't know, it's like probably hundreds of times, really close, psychologically feeling such righteousness that I would have killed, quote unquote, my marriage. I got so much energy. Oh, I'm such a piece of shit, such a piece of dirt. You know, you're better off without her. Surrender to marriage. So self-energizing through rumination. What it very often can look like in conversation is you end up stonewalling. You don't bark, argue with your queen. You stonewall in the conversation. You've reached a point of unowned emotional overwhelm. And then you start ruminating by yourself. The next morning on the way to work, you're sitting quiet at the table the next morning after a major disconnect, and you're sitting there and you're ruminating in your head about the bullshit of whore, you're right, she's wrong, or the bullshit of yourself. Your present self is right and your past self the night before and in leading up to that is wrong. You're gaining energy. You've got to become aware of, oh, I'm gaining energy by camping out, ruminating again and again. I'm gaining energy by this repeatedly going back to this topic and bringing more thinking on it, more commentary on it. It's like, wow. And you will find either underneath it all, there is a right versus wrong. The second mental pattern is self-energizing through validation. This is a sneaky son of a gun. Those of you that are acute and sharp and really following it, this is the temperamental teenager part of your psyche. It's where you're unconsciously seeking your wife to meet your needs of feeling seen, heard and safe before you have met these needs for her. So this is where you get very resentful and I would say aggressive. There's an anger that fuels the temperamental teenager, but technically, I want to keep it really clean. It's an unowned anger that builds into a frustration that builds into resentment, and then it spills out. The filing cabinet of building frustration spills out, and it's when that part gets really shitty with your queen, and what it's seeking, where it's self-energizing, is it's so absorbed, your awareness gets so absorbed in your inner story of how right you are, that your soul psyche ends up really feeling so fucking justified to judge your queen for not seeing what is so perfectly clear inside of you about your difficulty. And she should, all the classic cognitive distortions come through her mind. She should see the should statements, one cognitive distortion, the confirmation bias. You know, it's like it's confirming once more just how much she doesn't care about you. Another, this, the temperamental teenager, when you self-energize through validation, man, this is like a master deceiver of any intention to bring love and harmony to your marriage. Another one that self-energizing through validation can bring is what we call the complex hero, simple bitch cognitive distortion, where you're so absorbed in your awareness, self-validating your own heroic story, the complexity of your day, your moment, your week that led up to this moment of conflict. You're so validating in the complexity of that. And then from there, you'll make a simple one statement judgment of your queen being a simple bitch. She's just simply being a bitch. She should, because she should be able to validate all of me. And if she's not, she is wrong. You'll notice, again, the mental pattern is all set up about right versus wrong. It's claiming you're right. You get the whole dopamine kick. You get all of this kick inside of your nervous system that fills you up. You feel powerful. You feel bold. You feel daring. Even if she's crying, even if she's saying, enough, that's it, I'm going out the door. Even if she's saying, like, no, that's it, I'm never going to have sex with you again. You're feeling powerful. It's grade A fucking insanity, guys, when we really notice this. Am I like some PhD fucking professor that had this nailed from the start? No, I've learned these approaches and these teachings. Number one, I've been a diligent student for years of great mentors, great books, etc., etc. But it's that practice of, it's actually mental pattern number four that I'm going to speak to, is the ultimate pattern that you really need. You can study your ass off, you can listen to this podcast, but if you don't take extreme ownership of implementing and making it as a way of life, mental pattern number four, you're just going to keep repeatedly just knocking the house of cards that is your marriage, that is your intimate connection. So self-energizing through validation. It's trying to meet your needs, and you will find that that's a hurting inner child needs of see me, hear me, make me feel safe. That was, you were entitled to have your dad make you feel seen, heard and safe, and your mother make you feel seen, heard and safe, but you're not entitled to your queen, and definitely not when you lean into sacred masculine and feminine teachings. The core feminine need is feeling seen, heard and safe. Marriage really starts working when you practice making sure your queen feels seen, heard and safe first. And when she first and foremost feels seen, heard and safe through your practice, that's why I've established Own Curious Truth, different podcast episodes, but it's the communication practice through heroic husbands. When you own what's live in your nervous system and then you get curious about your queen, you make sure she feels fully seen, heard and safe in the first two segments of that communication approach. She'll hold space and see you and hear you and make you feel pretty damn safe in what you're going to say when your truth is the last of that sequence, not the first of that sequence. The self-energizing true validation will always be poking and pushing aggressively his truth on the situation. You will know when your mind is arguing, oh, but you're not seeing, but you have to see at my side. And there's a lot of high energy there. So, number one, self-energizing true rumination. Same shit, different day, churning, regurgitating, thinking again, 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 very often outside of your queen actually being in a situation. And if she's there, you're going quiet as you're doing it. Self-energizing true validation. You're going to notice that temperamental teenager. He's back arguing. He's a lot more viscerally felt energy in the moment. It'll be more physiologically up and strong. And, it's quite a threatening demonstration and embodiment through a male body with your queen when you go self-energizing true validation, because you're putting your chest out and you have angry eyes, and it's perceived as being aggressive and very unsafe for your queen. She's never going to surrender into that, but you're arguing in the conversation with a lot of energy. you'll know you're self-energizing through validation there, because you're going to argue, and you're never going to be really tap into, well, she's back arguing, so my argument is going nowhere. No, you'll be so absorbed with your awareness, and the only thing is I'm feeling energized, so I'm fine. But you're going nowhere really quick, and you can end a marriage when you don't wake up out of that as a repeated pattern. Point number three, self-energizing through explanation. And as I'm going through them, guys, as always, be practicing that heroic humiliation again and again. Getting real. You know, are you recognizing your own personal patterns? The patterns that your awareness goes to in your mind during conflict, during shutdown, during intense emotional moments with your queen in your married life. And yeah, of course, by extension, with your kids, you'll see these patterns with them as well. We need to keep those safe as husbands, as dads, inner fortresses. The third mental pattern is self-energizing through explanation. Again, a reminder that you can have overlapping aspects of this. It's not as clean cut as you're in one pattern or you're in the other pattern, or you're like, it's not one or the other. You can have an overlap, and maybe with enough self-reflection, you can recognize the more dominant pattern that takes you over in certain moments. Self-energizing through explanation. This is mental loops churning over an unfeeling rational breakdown of why disconnection is happening. The attitude to drops of integrity now, you know, your queen calls you out, she gives you feedback, you take it as criticism, but the attitude to a drop of integrity that you've gotten feedback on now, or to past resentments, is, I get that, but I can explain. I'll touch base now. Have you ever uttered words like that to your queen, or tried repeatedly to, you know, semi-acknowledge what she's saying, but have this grounded, almost smugness of, yeah, I get what you're saying, baby, but, you know, I can explain, you know, what was really happening was there. You know, I know why you might be upset, but I'm just going to keep, like a revolving door, going back to my super clean explanations. You know, I get why you're interpreting it that way, but what was really happening inside of me, you know, I wasn't actually flirting with the woman. You know, I can explain what I was really doing. I was trying to be nice. I mean, I can explain. She's a colleague. I mean, there's an important relation. I wasn't flirting. I can explain. You bring this self-energizing mental pattern that goes to explaining as a way out of conflict. Have you ever found that? Get real with yourself. Man, I fucking camped out there the whole time. My queen, early days, I'm glad she hasn't mentioned this in a long while, but like early days, man, I was reading Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, New Earth, entering into Buddhist stuff, and she's like, oh, here he comes, the prophet. I was like, I fucking hated her when she was saying that, because in those early days in marriage, I had yet to really practice actually mental pattern number four, which you will be introduced to soon. I was caught in this loop of, if you can explain all the mechanisms, Mark, well then it's through explanation, cold, rational explanation, that you can free yourself. And if your queen would just fucking listen to your rational explanations, she would self-regulate and stop being such a fucking antichrist. And, excuse me, it's this attitude that, you know, I can explain, like your queen should meet you there. And then the other side that goes, where you're not seeking to explain your own shortcomings in a way that, oh, but I can explain, you know, if you could just listen to me, you'd understand me. You know, and you can even feel the overlap that can happen with the seeking validation. You seek validation for your own explanation. Probably the key defining difference between the seeking self-energizing true explanation versus self-energizing true validation is there's a grounded smugness when you go into this. This is the foolish philosopher part. You're not getting so upset as when you're seeking energy through, when you're energizing true validation. That's a real angry, gnarly, deeply frustrated, highly emotional state that you get into. You're very reactive in that moment. A classic self-energizing true explanation is you retreat to this cold-hearted, objective rationalization and you camp out there, and really what it's seeking to do is not feel the full pain that your queen is going through, because there's some part of you that feels a deep shame for what's actually unfolding, and in an in an tongue twister, an inadequacy of your own practice to be able to transmit a message that can support her coming into feeling connected with you, to feeling trust with you, to feeling safe with you. So it's an inadequacy-based mental pattern. The first three mental patterns, they're all inadequacy-based. It's because we haven't been taught about our mind. We don't understand it. And, well, it's actually, these are the patterns that we've seen the entire world use. So we're just copy-pasting what our mom, dad, stepdad, teachers, you know, and in this profoundly sick society, we're just doing what we have seen done by those around us. The second part of self-energizing true explanation, and boy, this is super common. I want you to like really pay attention to this. I believe every guy in some moments of his marriage, some guys camp out here a lot. I know I did, is self-energizing true explanation, where your awareness goes to this point where you fucking pretend that you're like Carl Jung or Sigmund Freud, you know. And you go into psychoanalysis mode and you make what this part of you arrogantly believes with no humility, you know, you believe that you can make these high level professional judgments about how your wife's unhealed woundedness from childhood is the real driver of marital disconnection. You know, it's like it's the ultimate fucking bullshit move, but man, I camped out there. That's why my queen was like, here comes the prophet. But if you get real, your awareness is camped out there too, where you're like, she's giving me this feedback, she's being so nasty, but what is she owning? She's only so upset because, and then you bring out the filing cabinet. Imagine that your awareness has these filing cabinets. It can go to the filing cabinet of, okay, well, let's try the self-energizing true rumination. And sometimes it works, and other times it's like, okay, well, we're going to put the rumination filing cabinet back in. That doesn't feel good. It doesn't, I'm not feeling the energy, and then we'll go self-energizing true validation, and you get angry with your queen and you get frustrated, but like she stonewalled you, or she just called you on your bullshit. She gets super intense with you and you're like, oh fuck, well, let's just, you know, we'll just put that filing cabinet back in. Okay, I've energized enough true validation, but she's getting really pissed, and now we go to the self-energizing true explanation, and you can bring an end to the chaos by going internally, and you might temperamentally use temperamental teenager to bring it out, and normally it ends in such shitty circumstances that you go and retreat internally, but you bring out the filing cabinet of, well, I know exactly what's going on here. She has this jealousy issue with me interacting with other women because, well, her parents split because of cheating, and her granddad cheated all the time, had lovers left, right, and center, blah, blah, blah. That was my self-energizing true explanation. I was like, if all else fails, well, I can explain all of this marriage going apart from Matilda just isn't owning, she isn't healing, she isn't doing. And it's this ultimate thing. You'll find. I found this in my own work. In my own personal journey, but I see this and I hear aspects of this all the time in one-on-one coaching, and in, you know, it's 2.5 years of working with guys specifically on this, and I was doing it before as well. So it's thousands of hours of holding space for guys. Where this will really come up is when you're going to therapy, you're attending Heroic Husbands, you're listening to the podcast, and you have this really high opinion that I'm doing the work. I am journaling. I am courageously, like, I'm fucking the next best thing to Jesus Christ himself and Buddha. I'm up there. I feel enlightened because I have all of this awareness of shadow and parts and resentment, and you're bullshitting yourself. But from that point, you go, I'm the one doing the work. She's not. This whole marriage will actually be better if she'd just start doing the work. And you make this right versus wrong. It's an ultimate judgment on her. And none of it works. It's right versus wrong. You'll notice. So I'm imagining, if you've been listening in thus far, it's my expectation that you have a rapid, radical, growing clarity inside of yourself of your own BS. We might as well call it for what it is, guys. Let's not take it personal. Self-energizing through rumination, right versus wrong, doesn't work. You'll feel powerful, but it doesn't work ultimately. Self-energizing through validation, you'll feel powerful, all powerful. I feel like He-Man, master of the universe, but she still hates you. Actually, the more you go with that, the more she distrusts you. Self-energizing through explanation, you can feel powerful, you don't have to feel the shame, and you can be the ultimate righteous. I am an enlightened cat, and you are a wounded witch. You know, sort your shit. And you can, through those three mental patterns, you can be walking to the cliff edge and you are so intoxicated with the rational high from gaining so much energy and feeling so much power when you go through those patterns that you can go through divorce and you can actually camp out for the rest of your life. I've spoken with guys where they're 30 years later and they think they've done men's work and they think they've overcome their resentments, and then you speak to them once about, you know, their first marriage, and then they get all spiky and resentful, and it's like, oh yeah, so you're still feeling a ton of energy. You're still self-energizing from this hot, rigid story. Just doesn't fucking work. There's no peace. There's no power in there. It's not a masculine practice. The fourth pattern, I call it the ultimate pattern. Self-energizing through humiliation. And I had it liberation before, but I think I want to bring in, I want a punchy term in humiliation. That's maturing man part of you. I Wikipedia'd it there just before coming on. What is the definition of humiliation? Humiliation is the abasement of pride, comma, which creates mortification or leads to a state of being humbled or reduced to lowliness or submission. Of course, you can look at this one way and go, that's bullshit. I never want to experience humiliation. But if you look at it from a masculine practitioner perspective, there is your greatest power in this. Your greatest liberation as a human being, as a man, as a husband, as a dad. This is the ultimate door when you walk through and go, I'm going to surrender and submit to this process of humiliation. When you look at it and add meaning from a different perspective, it's the abasement of pride. Well, you'll find that the first three mental patterns are all based on this undying commitment to your pride, to your righteousness, the righteous high, where it doesn't matter how many kids she has born to you, risking your own life. It doesn't matter your wedding day vows. You will assassinate that woman's personhood so long as you feel right. Well, then humiliation as an abasement of pride is a damn good fucking thing. It's the medicine you're really needing when you're so absorbed with your awareness in righteousness that you need a good dose of medicine of, get real, man, you're not so right. You actually don't have any access to the full absolute truth of what your queen is experiencing. So stop pretending that you do. Stop pushing forward. You don't even know the full, your own full absolute truth, because if you did, you'd never fucking argue for your own small-minded, personal, less than 1% of your potentiality perspective. all conflicts come when we get small-mindedness and we're arguing a bullshit small-minded perspective that is only a result from this profoundly sick society that has attacked us and made us believe we're small, smaller than we actually are. It's the only reason you'd ever argue, ever. It's the only reason why you would ever cash in the chips of feeling temporarily powerful because you feel right and believe you're winning in life, when in actual fact you're losing the game at astounding levels. So humiliation is the abasement of pride. Well, abasement of pride is a damn good thing. Which creates mortification. Well, let's, you know, smooth out the mortification, but like, mortification comes from mort, debt. Well, it's debt of ego, and that is initiation. Joseph Campbell, there's no resurrection without crucifixion. Again, there, if you get into the hashtag modern men's world of like seeking so much fucking validation and self-love and so afraid of toxic masculinity that you just like, it's all light and, you know, like we have to be honored and it just gets really soft. You're like, oh, mortification, that's wrong. Well, it's like death of your ego, man. That's the ultimate masculine practice. That's the badasses in Buddhism, the badasses in Taoism, the badasses that we call saints in Christianity, the badasses in, real badasses in leadership in sports that we go, oh, that guy, what a fucking legend. You will find that some mortification, some death of his ego had to happen. Some abasement of his pride had to happen. And that's what carved him out as such a great leader. You'd see the great leaders in sports and in business. They're not great leaders from, you know, when they were 18, 19, 20, very rarely. Some have that characteristic, but very rarely it's when they get into their mid late 20s and they mature into this great leadership. And it's true, this continual progressive abasement of pride, I'll use Wikipedia's words, the mortification, the death of their ego, the death of their own resistance, which creates mortification or leads to a state of being humbled or reduced to lowliness or submission. Well, again, you can look at that and go, well, that's just dreadful. That's social humiliation. That's what I, you know, I was made reduced to lowliness or submission by the bully. So I'll never do that again, Mark. And you'll never win me over to your argument. And I'm like, okay, cool. Well, your rigid stance is not the beginner's mind. And you will find that same shit, different day. Your marriage will just continually go worse and worse and worse. And you will camp out to tap in and energize yourself from the righteous high, which just when you're tapping into that, you're making your queen wrong, your kids wrong, life wrong. You'll never win big. Where being humbled or reduced to lowliness or submission, well, it's lowliness of your righteous high. It's surrendering and softening into going, that mental pathway, that pattern, I'm going to bring that down to lowliness. It's not so powerful by itself when I examine it up to the light like an x-ray. Man, there's fractures everywhere in it. It's not so all pervasively wise. It holds very little truth in it, if I'm being really honest. And you hold yourself to the submission. You know, there's deep conditioning, guys, that in this profoundly sick society, culturally, it's like organized religion, sin. To sin, you're a sinner, it meant you are wrong. No, it doesn't. When you come from the perspective that the word sin is to miss the mark, it's an ancient Aramaic archery term. Oh, I missed a mark. Well, I'll just re-aim. There's no shame. There's no major hit to your personhood. I've missed a mark. And when you can reorient like that, well, you come back into your infinite power. And you can then go, okay, I self-energize through humiliation. You know, I posted in Heroic Husbands training and community platform. I posted the first filling out of the Fierce Feminine Feedback Questionnaire, where it's an incredible tool. I'm making it available to guys that are committed practitioners. It's one of the most powerful tools that we've created, where queens give feedback on presence, progress, and protection, 10 categories in each. You do have access to the self-assessment tool that's based on the same thing, but this is the highest level of feedback. It's direct from your queen. Matilda gave me 55% in presence, 55% in progress, and 67% in protection. I'm the fucking founder of this movement. I'm the lead learner. I'm the podcast dude that obsesses about this shit. I got pretty crap scores if you come from one perspective. Did I feel self-energizing through rumination? Yeah, there was a part that did that. I denied my awareness any right to stay there. Did I feel self-energizing through validation? Fuck yes. I was like, you know, I tried to validate and find reasons where it was inaccurate. Did I allow my awareness to stay there? No, fuck no. Self-energizing through explanation. There was a part of my awareness went, oh, well, I can explain why she's so gnarly with this because I gave her feedback a couple of, you know, a month ago that was really on point and she's getting her own back. Did I let my awareness stay there? Fuck no. I self-energized through humiliation. I looked her in the eye and goes, baby, thank you so much. Fuck yes. And then within the coming days, I blew her mind away with levels of presence that she told me since. She's like, see that day when you were there and we were doing that DIY project, Mark, that entire day, I have never experienced such a relentlessly high level, high quality presence throughout the entire day. It's like, wow, you set a new baseline. My awareness, this new pathway inside me, guys, goes, I'm only going to bring my awareness and self-energize through humiliation. And I seek feedback from my queen and I'm like, I missed a mark. Re-aim. Cool. And when I re-aim, I'm now tapped in. And I want you guys knowing that when you catch self-energizing through rumination, self-energizing through validation, self-energizing through explanation and all the details and the signs that know, let you know you're there, re-aim. And re-aim and ask feedback. Get feedback. Coming into landing here, I'm putting it out to you again. There's a lot of guys have already tapped into it. I set the challenge to you. Your first, your most powerful response to this is going into the podcast description notes, and there's a link there to take, it takes 3 to 5 minutes max, the Heroic Husband Marriage Self-Assessment Tool. It's self-energizing through humiliation. The grounded truth of where you're truly at or where you're not at. And with that feedback, you can go, oh, wow. You know, when I think of that aspect of my life, I could do a whole lot better. I'm at a 3 at that, which gives you feedback to go, okay, you're missing your mark. Well, cool. What are you going to do about it? Oh, I'm going to do that, this new thing differently this week. And that's going to bring romance back up. That's going to bring her, you know, her trust in I do what I say I'm going to do. That's going to bring her trust up in my capacity to hold space for her, etc., etc., etc. Self-energizing through humiliation is the maturing man part of you. When and only when, without any exceptions, you shunt the predominant pathway of your awareness in your mind, self-energizing through humiliation, through taking feedback, humiliation, the ground of truth of where you're truly at, and you map out your entire life in your marriage, in your parenting. You take feedback about your health and fitness. Just look at your body. Feel your body, how it feels for a day. There's feedback. Get your fucking shit in order. Don't be pretending that you can live out another decade with your body feeling like that and looking like that. You take feedback. You lean in. You chase the storm. You chase the humiliation. You chase it. You're like, yeah, come on, life. Come on, wife. Come on, kids. Come on, buddy. Come on, doctor. Come on, financial advisor. Come on, business coach. Give me fucking feedback. Because why? I now self-energize through humiliation. I want to know where I'm at so I can notice where I can get. Unfucking stoppability is what beckons. Profound inner peace, power, confidence. Unshakable confidence, unshakable clarity is a result of that. And when you map out your awareness and your inner world, leaning into self-energizing exclusively through humiliation, how trustworthy are you to your queen? How attractive are you? You're the most attractive man in the entire universe. Day one attraction to you is fucking pennies compared to the attraction she will feel from you now, the connection she'll feel with you. She'll want to love, laugh, and let loose with you forevermore in the infinite game of marriage. And that is the game that we play within Heroic Husbands. Get to the Heroic Husband Marriage Self-Assessment Tool today. If you haven't done it already, it's there. That will be a supremely powerful next action to lock in self-energizing true humiliation as your new pathway in your mind, as the maturing man you are, in perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.